Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Massive Breakdown Podcast. This is episode 10, I believe. I'm Mercules, your host, as always, with Kit Kutcha and NK Cougar. And we have a ton to talk about this week. Balance Patch 2.4.0 just dropped last Thursday, and we have spent the entire weekend playing the game, trying to figure it out, seeing what changes were done in the game, and we are going to be discussing it at length and in detail. But first, how are you guys doing today? How's your Monday going?
I don't want to talk about it. Kit, you just go ahead.
Yeah, can't complain. I was feeling pretty under the weather last week. Much improved. Been able to get some Destiny in. Getting some last final rep grinding and packages done. Of course, I totally failed to visit Xur over the weekend. Even set myself a reminder, but good thing I've got one more week. Reminder to everybody out there: do not forget to go by Xur. Pick up any 3 of coins you want. Pick up any heavy ammo synth. You will not have another chance before September 23rd.
And I actually did not go visit Xur either. I was out of town for the most part Friday and Saturday up in South Carolina. But I don't remember the last time I even really cared about anything that Xur had. I stocked myself up on 3 of coins a long time ago. And since then, I have some glass needles too. But besides that, I really don't care about Xur anymore. So I'll be looking forward to Rise of Iron when they start giving him some ornaments and all the cool stuff that we can buy from him. And I'll actually have a reason to go back and see him again, because it has been a little while since I've cared about the Tentacle Phase Master.
Yeah, there's always heavy ammo.
That is true, but I got Varix for that and Banshee. I don't need Xur's forever holding down the button to get heavy ammo from him every single time. It takes me too long for that type of stuff. But I have been playing a lot of Destiny. On Sunday, I went to go see the Jaguars play, and they lost, of course, as they always do. But it was actually a good game this time, so I came back and took solace in the fact that I had Destiny. And I've played a ton of Destiny over like the last 2 days. I played a lot of it on Friday. And I've been just going into the Crucible, testing every single one of the weapons, with the exception of Fabian Strategy and Universal Remote. Because I saw Fallout had just done a ton of stuff on Universal Remote. And Fabian Strategy, I just wasn't on my Titan, so I wasn't using it. But I have to tell you how insanely difficult it is to try to test weapons when skill-based matchmaking decides to throw me in against the sweatiest sons of bitches who've ever lived in the Crucible. I think I went 3-20 one of the games, or it might have been 4-20, because I was trying to use the stupid sidearms, and I was trying to get kills from absolute closest range to see what the critical damage was on those headshots right next to me, which means shotgun, just blade dance, every single type of death I could imagine. And finally someone sent me a message in one of the games and was like, "Hey, are you Mercules from Reddit?" And I was like, "Yeah." And they were like, "Dude, I love your podcast, blah, blah, blah. I thought, you know, all you guys were on PS4. I never expect to run into one of you on Xbox." And I was like, "Well, damn, that's great." And I was like, "Look, man, I hate to ask this, and I promise I won't kill you, but can I just come up to you and shoot you with my sidearms, please? Because this is taking me forever. I've been in here like 10 games, and I have not gotten it." And he was like, "Yeah, of course." And him and a friend in his party just stood at the back of the map and let me run up to them, shoot them in the head with a sidearm, shoot them in the body, switch to another weapon, do it over and over again. His teammates would sometimes run up to me and kill me, and my teammates would sometimes run up to them and kill them. But overall, we got all the testing done in one match, and it was fantastic, and I absolutely loved it. So thank you very, very much if you were one of the people out there, I believe last Friday, who let me shoot you over and over again in the face of the sidearm. I really, really appreciate it, so thank you for that.
So I have something just to throw in real quick here then. Before we get into the podcast proper, what we're going to talk about today, obviously, is going to be the patch notes. Now, we had talked about last week doing listener Q&A. We've still got that on the docket here, but I think, you know, due to the patch notes showing up, we're going to go ahead and do that next week, not expecting any major changes this week aside from private matches. So next week we can talk about the dawn of private matches and do some fan Q&A, and we'll all be getting ready to dive into Rise of Iron. How does that sound to you guys?
Let's get to it.
Destiny weapon tuning, that is the big thing, or it was supposed to be the big thing that came down with 2.4.0. But all in all, I found it was a very underwhelming update, and we'll talk about the specifics of that, but we're just going to go straight down the list. And the very first thing that they started off with was the exotics. Fabian Strategy actually did get a pretty sizable buff. Kills with this weapon now automatically load a portion of the magazine back, And they increased the base range by 16% and the base stability by 44%. Now, compared to how useless it was before, I wouldn't say it's now a dominant weapon in the Crucible, because quite frankly, ARs are still in a really weak spot. But it is much, much better than it was, you know, a month ago. And I can actually say I was killed by it once a couple of days ago, which I had never had happen before.
That is impressive.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever been killed by Fabian strategy. Unfortunately, you know, I was all set to go and get it on my Titan quite a while ago. And then I saw some of the reviews for how bad it was. Some of my friends got it and were just like, this is a horrible weapon. And so I just never bothered. So I still have that on my checklist here to try and get done before Rise of Iron. We'll see if I get to it. Now that private matches are out, I'm a little distracted.
Yeah, I if I'd had the clap emoji, I would have actually given the guy a hand for killing me with that weapon. But it's still, like I said, because ARs are the way ARs are, they're not, wow, that's a tongue twister right there. But because of that, they're not, they're not dominant in the Crucible. It's just not going to happen.
I don't think it'd be like it is, but it do.
Yeah, exactly like that. So I think the actual numbers wise, the base range went from 22 to 26. The stability went from 50 to 72. It's a really big stability buff, which is nice.
Yeah, the stability buff is the real game changer, per se.
Well, and the load of portion back in the magazine, because the huge issue was they had too small of a magazine to be a high rate of fire, you know, AR. So that's nice, but not a big deal. The next thing up would be Thorn. They did decrease the base range by 25%. It goes down from 38 to 29, I believe. And this caused some chagrin in the sweaty community when they first heard.
Yeah, I've been playing with the Thorn for the last several days since it is coming back in year 3. So on the update list, I'm looking at it right now, they've listed Thorn's strengths, which are damage over time, location information, and health recovery delay is what stems directly off of that. Fastest fire rate of the hand cannon family, and effectively best in class level range with Send It. They failed to list a strength. We may have talked about this last week, we may not have. But the Thorn is completely capable of killing with one headshot and two body shots, which is not appropriate for the archetype it is in. The archetype it is in requires two headshots and one body shot, but the damage over time kicks that up enough that you do have the ease of use of the mid-level. This is part of the reason that Thorn was considered, or is still considered, a top-tier gun. So while they did reduce the base range by 25%, I don't think that really changes anything at all. They're still Send It, still can get the one-head, two-body kill. And if you're running up against a Max Armor Titan or a Ramlock, you throw aggressive ballistics on, and I'm fairly sure in most cases you can kill every high armor build. That may be different for something like a Max Armor Striker with a chest piece, or a Void Ramlock with the chest piece. But for the most part, the Thorn seems fairly unchanged. It's going to be, I'm calling it right now, it's going to be one of, if not the strongest weapons in Rise of Iron.
Yeah, and I know people are pissed about it, but what you gotta realize is, I forget who it was that did the range testing on hand cannons on Crucible Playbook, and I want to say Gentlectual, but it may have been Sanok or one of the other guys. But regardless, they found that Thorn had a weird damage drop off pattern that was unlike any of the other hand cannons at all. It wasn't like any of the legendary hand cannons. It basically had a unique pattern where even when it was at the exact same range as another hand cannon, the damage drop off started later. So this bringing the range back down, really all it's doing is bringing it in line with the other hand cannons. And I know people hate to see their sweaty, you know, babies nerf, but this one overall is not something that I feel like is going to be a game changer for Thorn. Like you said, I think it's still going to be powerful. I think it's still going to be well used, and I think it's still going to be a prominent weapon in the upcoming meta. So the Thorn nerf isn't really something that I feel like was, you know, a horrendous, you know, turning it into a useless gun. I think it's really just bringing it in line. Now, if we're going to talk about, which we'll probably save this for another discussion, but if we're going to talk about the issues hand cans as a whole are having with the bloom and everything like that, that's a whole other story. All right,
that's a whole other
discuss that. Yeah, that's something that, and you know, Triple Rec came out and said stuff, and Prodigy said stuff, but that's a whole different thing for another discussion. We're just talking about the 2.4.0 balance patch right now, so we'll have our thoughts on that differently, a different time. But next thing up, Universal Remote. This one was actually hit pretty hard. Exotic perk range bonus was decreased by 75%, basically no longer guaranteeing the maximum shotgun range, and they increased the rate of fire, which, as we know, when you increase the rate of fire on a shotgun, not through full auto, but I'm talking about moving in between the archetypes. Increase the rate of fire, faster rate of fire means the pellets do a little bit less damage. So that's just the way it works. So Universal Remote, in my opinion, its time as a top tier weapon is probably done.
It is. To jump in here, I've been using the Universal Remote for most of the day today. And while at first my personal opinions got in the way of forming relevant, I guess, insight to what this nerf did, I was pissed. You can ask Kit. He saw what I wrote in Slack when I saw this. Actually, I had managed to not think about that nerf the entire day because I knew I was just going to lose my damn mind, and I did. But stepping back from it, I think the Universal Remote has been brought exactly where it was intended to be. It is now the counterpart of the No Land Beyond. It is not as good as top-tier legendary shotguns. You are losing many, many advantages that those shotguns have, which is the same thing you're going to do when you pull a No Land Beyond. The No Land Beyond, you know, it has no scope. It has the worst rate of fire I've ever seen. The reload animation is faster than the animation between shots, etc., etc. What you're seeing here with the Universal Remote is almost the opposite weaknesses. The rate of fire is very high, the range is very low now, and you're going to run through ammo much, much more quickly. I have run out of ammo with the Universal Remote at this point. The loss to range hurts. It's very, very difficult to use outside of some various niche builds. Juggernaut Strikers, Blink. Blink actually has come back into being useful just for the Universal Remote because you have got to close gaps to do damage with it. You are now going to be playing inside of legendary shotguns, one-hit kill ranges. So you need to be evasive or you need to tank a first shot in order to use it. So when used properly with one of those builds that allows you to evade or to tank the first shot, I think it can still be effective. Outside of that, it's not going to be that great. You know, maybe a Stormcaller could use it still because of the melee range. You can shoot melee, hopefully get a kill from that, but the range has been hurt. It is no longer top tier. But it is where it's intended to be as an alternative to the No Land Beyond, in my opinion.
And I'm not sad to see the Universal Remote get a nerf, and I'm not sad to see it come out of the limelight, but I am... This is part of the place where I disagree with Bungie on their design choice. I didn't think Universal Remote needed a really strong nerf. I thought if you'd buffed primaries, things would have fallen back in line. I'm sad to see the Universal Remote get a nerf because it's part of the continuing decline of the aggressive, fast game style that Destiny was in the very beginning. In Vanilla, in The Dark Below, in House of Wolves, things were quick, and there's a lot of movement, a lot of attack, a lot of aggression, and everything is being brought down systematically. Snipers are the worst they've ever been. Shotguns are the worst they've ever been. Auto rifles are the worst they've ever been. Hand cannons are the worst they've ever been. Scout rifles are the same because they barely ever get changed. Pulse rifles aren't the worst because they start out so god awful, but they're significantly weaker than they once were. I mean, with the exception of maybe sidearms and fusion rifles, almost everything is the worst it's ever been in terms of effectiveness. And Universal Remote is just one more brick in this road that they're paving, unfortunately. So I disagree with it. I hated the Universal Remote. You guys probably know about that. I know I've ranted on here before about it, but I didn't want to see it get nerfed the way it did. And they have basically, for all intents and purposes, destroyed it as a tier one gun. It's now back to being, you know, oh, I'm going to goof around and try this build and maybe Universal Remote will work with me. But Next gun up is actually the definition of one of those type of builds where it's not really a viable weapon, but it's the dreg's promise. They increase the damage by 8%. They increase the magazine size by 3. I played a lot with this gun. I will say the damage increase was noticeable. It definitely brought the time to kill down from being absurdly high and useless to being in line with other sidearms. It's still not fantastic because the damage drop-off starts really, really quickly, and I basically found myself only hitting optimal damage inside of shotgun range anyways, and you're never going to kill faster than a shotgun with a sidearm. It's not hit scan, so outside of shotgun range, it's kind of difficult to kill anything, but it does do 33 damage for crits. It does 27 damage for bodies. So, I mean, again, it's not as bad as it once was, but in my honest opinion, the dreg's promise is still pretty bad. It was a fun gimmick thing for me to use. I enjoyed disintegrating people with the arc damage, but for the most part, I just found myself trading with other shotgun players the vast majority of the time. Do y'all have anything to add about the dreg's promise?
Not really. It's the dreg's promise. It's an exotic sidearm. If it was legendary, it might be worth using, but you're trading the exotic slot for a non-hit scan, incredibly low range. I don't know the word to describe it. It sucks, though. It's the dreg's promise.
If the dreg's promise was the old Queen's Choice, it would be a fantastic gun. And if someone had asked us what the best sidearm, or had asked me what the best sidearm was last week, I would have said the Queen's Choice. But it's definitely never been the dreg's promise, and I don't think this damage boost it did anything to change that.
No, the dreg's promise is still squarely at the bottom of the sidearm list.
And realistically, the new one that's coming out, the Trespasser, I believe, is a 3-round burst sidearm. I haven't gotten one for myself, so I can't test it. But realistically, the Trespasser is probably just a better version of the Dreg's Promise. I've been killed by a few times in the Crucible, but I don't know the damage numbers on it exactly. I'll get those up as soon as I can. And on the subject of sidearms, just quickly, they did a lot of work on these sidearms. We'll get to that later on in the thing, but having played with them a lot since this update, they did a ton of work. That is the one place where they actually may have helped things is the sidearms. But next up is the Touch of Malice, and this one doesn't really have an effect on PvP, but basically if you were using Blessing of Light with a Defender Titan and Touch of Malice, now the self-damage removes Blessing of Light. I never saw anyone use that in PvP, so I don't think that that's really going to affect anything in the Crucible and PvE. It might change people's strategies up a little bit, but Kutch, do you have anything to say about that? I know you're the PvE guy in this podcast.
Yeah, I guess so. That really affects two main things that it was being used for. Now, one obviously was some very popular raid strategies that involved double titans in the middle running back and forth between blessing bubbles, taking down the ogres so that you could get all of your bombs piled up on top of each other. That strategy is not going to work so well here. You have to switch up to a different weapon. You have to go over to a sniper rifle or, just put more shots in, basically. So it's a little bit different, but there are a lot of different raid strategies out there. I mean, heck, you know, up until this update, actually, people were able to solo the raid. So, you know, I saw some people, they saw this happen and they said, "Ah, way to ruin King's Fall, and we're never going to do that raid again." And that is really an overreaction. The raid is completely manageable as it is without the Touch of Malice and combined with Blessing of Light. The other thing that, I guess adding on to that too, you know, people kind of forget, hey, we're going to get a huge light boost here, and all of those enemies that are kind of tough to kill right now are not going to be tough to kill in a month. So, you know, King's Fall, you know, if you're thinking about farming it down the road, still totally worthwhile if you want to get that Defiance of Yasmin. I think about the only raid weapon really worth chasing. But the other thing I wanted to mention is Touch of Malice was also often used for speed runs, particularly in the Prison of Elders, where you would get the exposure modifier. You could run through a blessing bubble and just be regash darn ridiculously, powerful, sit there and just pump rounds into the boss, kill them in 30 seconds, move on to the next round. You know, you spent more time sitting in between rounds than you did actually killing bosses. So it was great for getting legendary drops, great for getting 3 of coin drops. That is still totally doable. You don't need blessing for that. You can just do it with the exposure bonus. So again, didn't ruin the strategy, just took away one extra boost that made it almost too easy.
I'm not particularly worried about it. I have been using it in PvP a little bit, but mostly just focusing on the fact that it is basically a hung jury with a faster rate of fire. Super forgiving gun, easy to use, fun, not competitive, but fun. Next up to the Boolean Gemini, a gun that a lot of people hoped would become competitive. I believe this was actually suggested on the subreddit, but they wanted to add the high caliber rounds intrinsic perk to it, which is actually Mida's old intrinsic perk, and they did. It is not a great gun. It is one of the better guns in its archetype because of the fact that aggressive ballistics ups the headshot damage to 64. Nice thing about that is it can kill with three crits guardians at 5 armor or lower, because it actually does 192 damage with that. So high caliber rounds is a nice bonus. I like the Boolean Gemini. I think it's a good feeling gun. I still don't think it's going to be a competitively used weapon at high levels, because you can't really count on people being under 5 armor for the most part at levels like that. But so the Boolean Gemini, there you go. If you were using it before, you should be happy it's better than it was. If you weren't using it before and were looking for a reason, maybe try it out if you're not playing at a super high level against like really good kids. But to me, it's still not the best gun for PvP, unfortunately.
It suffers the archetype. That's all there is to it. This archetype will not be competitive.
No, and it's not a bad thing, because the archetype is fantastic for people who are learning scout rifles. It is easily the most forgiving archetype that exists out there. Only need a 50% crit ratio to get the optimal time to kill. It's so, so easy. Archetypes like this, like the DIS-43, they dominate at low-level Crucible play when people are just picking up scout rifles, and that's exactly where they should be. So I'm not upset that it's not been pushed into, you know, high-level relevance, because not everything needs to be relevant at the highest level. Just want to clear that up and say that out there.
I actually had something to say about the Boolean Gemini. Just another quick PvE note. So some people might be aware already. You should be if you're not. The SIVA affected the peg leg dregs. We know that if we
peg leg dregs, peg I leg like dregs. That.
Yeah, if we or the peg leg dregs, you know, however you want to say it. If you kill them with a headshot, they have a chance to spawn a seeking SIVA bolt that will hunt you down. I think I heard somebody at Bungie refer to it as like a death bolt at one point. So, I mean, it doesn't kill you in one shot from what we've seen in gameplay, but it's not going to be very friendly. If you've ever been hit or killed by an Axion bolt, you know exactly what I'm talking about here. So, one nice thing about the Boolean Gemini is that it gives you increased armor for killing with body shots. Just something for the PvE people to keep in mind when you're selecting your weapons going into Rise of Iron. This is one to maybe have in your inventory for those times when you need to clear out the new SIVA peg leg dregs.
That's something I didn't know. I didn't know that the dregs unleash a little SIVA bolt on you when you killed them, but that's pretty cool. No Time to Explain is next. They basically added Headseeker to it. Yeah, it's just another one of those archetypes that's not competitive in PvP, but this one doesn't even have really the benefit of being any more forgiving than any of the other pulse rifles that are out there. So it's got the slowest time to kill, and it's not any more forgiving than a Hawksaw or anything like that. So for PvE, yes, still a really, really good weapon. No Time to Explain does have the benefit of being really great there. But for PvP, nope, still stay away from it.
And the thing that really got me about this buff is that it's probably one of the most pointless buffs I've ever seen in Destiny. Headseeker completely defeats the purpose. And to me, I thought this was kind of startling. He said he was going to respect the spirit of the weapon, but Headseeker, the name respects the spirit of, you know, you get headshots, you get your bullets back. But the perk increases your damage when you land a body shot, and then land your subsequent headshots in that burst to get a damage boost. Well, you shouldn't be landing body shots with this gun. Like, what's the point? In any mode, it just does not do anything for you.
Yeah, I do agree with that being really one of the most asinine changes. of this whole list, and there are some pretty terrible ones there. But to clarify, that respecting the spirit of the weapon is because he didn't stick around to explain the reasoning for adding what is possibly the most useless possible perk to this gun. This was a change that was made to say, hey, look, we did something. This is not a change made to balance anything. This was a change made for the sake of extending their patch notes. And I'm not happy with that. If they make a change, it needs to be a useful change. It needs to do something. Headseeker on a gun that is designed really to completely avoid body shots.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't like it. But whatever. The gun basically didn't really change meaningfully. You'll never notice, so.
Nope. And speaking of changes that we hate, next up is the sniper rifles section. And this is the section that I took the most umbrage with out of almost all of their patch notes, simply because I wholeheartedly disagree with the way they nerf the sniper rifles. But basically, what they have to say is snipers are being utilized extremely effectively in both the Crucible and the Dominions of the Darkness. One family of sniper rifles stands out for the rest, and it's the high-impact family, of which everyone knows the infamous 1,000-yard stare and longbow synthesis. So they say that the benefits of this sniper class are decent-sized magazines with strong impact, which are good DPS, high target acquisition, and they said combining it with hidden hand makes it reach the upper echelon normally reserved for lower-impact sniper rifles like Waylon's March. They have the ability to take down a Guardian while in the super state, and they have high body shot damage with a rate of fire still fast enough to the two-tap body shot is still viable. So those are the things they say are the positives there. To change these things, they then reduce the damage on the mid-high impact by 6.95%, about 7%. What that means is that they can no longer kill Guardians who are at 6 armor or lower when they're in their armor boosted roaming supers. It means you can't kill
6 armor or higher.
Oh, yeah, sorry, there you go, 6 armor or higher. They can't kill Guardians who are at, so it's 7 armor then, because they can kill at 6 and below. So 7 armor is the safe spot where you now have to sit. If you are at 7 armor, you no longer have to worry about coming around the corner and being shot in the face by a 1,000-yard stare. That means that almost all Titans are going to be immune to the headshot from a 1,000-yard stare.
Oh shit, we're back to Sunbreakers being dominant.
Exactly, and this brings me to my point, is people were furious that Sunbreakers had the ability to tank a high-impact sniper rifle shot when they first came out. Now they can tank it again, but on top of that, so can Blade Dancers, so can Radiant Skin Warlocks, so can Stormcallers, I mean, so can Night Stalkers in the middle of their freaking animation even, if they have high enough armor, you know, when they're drawing back at the bow and they get their double armor boost. Out of all the things that they had a strength of, I do not think that being able to snipe people out of their super was something that needed to be removed. To be honest, it doesn't happen really that often. It's not something that's happening every single game. It's not something that is a huge noticeable effect on the weapons. And part of the reason why I'm pissed about this is because they removed something I like to do, but they removed something that wasn't even really one of the problems that people had with the gun. If you go back and look at the benefits of the family, decent magazine sizes right there, nerf their inventory a little bit. You don't want them to have so many bullets, then take down the inventory, make them all sitting at the longbow synthesis level if you want to do that. Strong target acquisition, nerf their aim assist right there. Those are two things where you're going to make bullets be worth more and you're going to make it more difficult to land crazy shots. Those are two things they could have nerfed right there. Ability to take down a Guardian while in their super state, yeah, that's like the entire point of using that gun, besides the body shot switch to a primary and then finish them off. But that's like the entire point of that weapon. That's why a lot of people used them in the standard Crucible. And I know that you're going to say, well, that doesn't happen very much in super high level play. But it's not about the fact that it happens a lot. It's about the fact that it has a possibility of happening. I play a pulse rifle or scout rifle in 1,000-yard stare. When I hear a Sunbreaker, you know what I get to do? I get to run away now. Because I don't have anything in my arsenal that can now kill the Sunbreaker. I can't shotgun them from up close. I can't snipe them from far away. And you're basically punishing me for running a class that I like to run. And you're telling me, oh, well, you can use the Black Spindle for that. I'm not going to use the Black Spindle for that. I'm not going to get in there and use a Black Spindle. And it really, really infuriates me that that's the way they chose to nerf this class of sniper rifle. Mostly because of the fact that it doesn't really do anything to actually nerf this class of sniper rifle. When you really, really look at it, they remove the damage down a little bit. You can still do the body shot switch to a primary and finish someone off. They still have pretty high aim assist. They still have pretty decent inventory for the most part. And now they can't snipe supers, which happens once. Out of 10 games, 15 games, you're actually going to successfully snipe a super. They didn't really do anything to change this. All they did was be like, oh, you guys all hate the 1,000-yard stair class. Well, look, we nerfed it. You see, we nerfed it. We nerfed it. You didn't actually nerf it at all. You know, you just took away something that's basically meaningless, like it's a consolation prize to the part of the community that hates these guns and wants these guns to be destroyed. But, you know, sorry, that's a rant, and I need to get off this subject right now because it's getting me heated. But I really, really strongly disagree with that choice.
I'm going to jump in here. The exact same thing I said with the no time to explain. They have made a change for the purpose of saying they changed it. You went through the list. Decent magazine sizes, strong impact, strong DPS, strong target acquisition, high body shot damage with a rate of fire fast enough to two-tap body shot. Change the rate of fire. Change the rate of fire. You don't have to change anything else. If you can no longer reliably two-tap somebody, you have forced this archetype of sniper rifle to be used more accurately, to have shots chosen better. You can still take someone out in their super state, which does happen. It is one of the only things, aside from another super, that can combat a super. So, now, like you said, my only choice is to run. This has effectively removed sniper rifles from high-level play. I won't be using a sniper in high-level play anytime soon. I'll use a shotgun because that's really my only choice at this point. There are no other choices for high-level play. I might get lucky and take out a super with a shotgun. I can't do that with a sniper anymore. There are so many strengths that were left that they stated were shared with other archetypes. They specifically said that they receive benefits that the other archetypes, the other families in their words, have as well. But instead of changing the benefits shared with other archetypes, they removed the only benefit that is unique to the mid-high and... I don't care about the high impact, the Black Spindle, the Zen Meteor. There are two in there. Nobody's going to use them in PvP. But they have neutered the mid-high impact family. There is no reason to use it at this point. And that's unacceptable. It is a change that just was not thought out. From looking at the patch notes, taking 30 seconds to think about the changes, it doesn't make sense. You remove the only thing that is unique about this archetype of sniper rifles.
Yep, you could have decreased the rate of fire by adding a frame or two frames in between shots. There's more, you know, that's, like you said, that's a better thing. You could have decreased the aim assist by a significant amount because right now they still have retardedly high aim assist for what they are. When you look at how low the aim assist is in something like Black Spindle in the 30s, then you make the next jump down to high impact and they're in the 50s, 55, you know, that range. You know, you could have dropped the aim assist down to 40, 45, that range, and been fine with it. You could have made it to where they can only store 12 bullets at a time instead of 16. You could have done anything other than remove the thing that made them unique, which was the ability to take down a guardian in their super. They removed that, and it's like, okay, well, now you've left me with, I can shoot somebody in the body and then switch to a primary to finish them off. Which, okay, that's great. Or I could just use a Tao Huo Yan or whatever they're called and two-tap them in the body, even faster than that. You know, so it's like, what is the point of me using this class anymore? You've removed the thing that made it unique, and now it's just like every other sniper, but slower. So I hate that. I hate that. Just, I feel like it was a very, very poor decision to change that. And the other thing they did to him, but this doesn't just affect snipers, this actually affects everything in the game, but they changed the way aim deflection works. They basically increased flinch, like, in general for everything. They said that it used to start at 30%, and now it starts at 50%. And then for every subsequent hit, the strength of the deflection increases, they don't say by how much, until you hit 100% max deflection, then I guess it stays there. For snipers, they change the deflection multiplier from, you know, 1.85 to 1.9. I doubt that's really that noticeable on top of the overall thing. But what do y'all think about the flinch mechanic change? Have y'all noticed it in your time playing?
Not in the least. To continue the consistent theme, at least from anecdotal evidence, my point of view, this is another change made to say we changed something.
Yeah, I haven't really seen any differences in flinch in-game. You know, I mean, the place where you're most likely to really notice anything would be zoomed in sniping as far as flinch goes. And I try to avoid, I'm really, you know, I mean, if you go, you know, you check my stats, you'll see the majority of my kills as a PvP player come from shotguns, followed by abilities. So I don't spend a lot of time sniping. If I get shot while I'm zoomed in, it doesn't really matter what percentage the flinch is. I'm not going to make the shot. And, you know, so I think for the vast majority of, you know, mid-skill Crucible players, this is sort of a meaningless change. This is something to make, I think, people feel better when they are shooting somebody, that they might feel like they're more likely to not get sniped when they're shooting that sniper. But I haven't noticed it.
Yeah, I've actually, because I'm meaning to do a breakdown on the flinch mechanic itself. I've been meaning to do it for a long time, but I've actually been saving all my clips from today and yesterday of where I've still sniped people when I've been flinched to show them that it basically hasn't done a lot. And I think the problem with this flinch mechanic is, again, they didn't change what the issue is with flinch. Low rate of fire weapons still do less flinch than high rate of fire weapons. And that's something that needs to be addressed. All this does is make it to where your Doctrine of Passing or your Hawksaw, your Grasp is going to flinch someone a little bit more than it was before. But the fact of the matter is that they even said in this, it's about every subsequent hit, the strength of deflection increases. You know? So for Doctrine of Passing, the total deflection may not be as much as, you know, an answering chord or a high impact weapon, but it gets to maximum deflection much more quickly. And that's the issue that we're having here, is that high impact weapons aren't doing enough flinch, and low impact weapons consequently are doing way more flinch. Why is that? It's another decision, it's another change that just shows that they don't understand where the issues are being found right now. I don't need my Doctrine of Passing to do more flinch. I don't need my Grasp of Malak to do more flinch. I want my Cossetus to do more flinch. I want my Ludmila to do more flinch. I want my Enhancing Chord or Antipodal Hindsight or the Dealbreaker to do more flinch. You know, I want my Judith D to make someone's screen jump halfway across the map. You know, that's what I want. I don't need those low impact weapons to do even more flinch than they already did. Not that it matters, because like you guys said, I've barely knows the difference at all. Maybe a couple of times, but I think it's really a minimal change.
They're correcting the symptoms of the issue rather than working to the base of the actual issue and fixing that.
Yep.
It's a patch. So we're going to call it a patch. It's a Band-Aid. This can't be a permanent fix to the issue because it has not actually addressed the base issue.
Yeah, just looking, like, you know, if you take a look at, I mean, and obviously Mercules has this all spelled out for you on the weapon stats spreadsheet that he maintains, but which, thanks for that again, if I haven't said it recently. But, you know, if you just look at, like, just the raw stats of sniper rifles and you're trying to decide what to use, you know, you don't really care too much about flinch. That's going to work the way, same way across the board. You just look at, you know, the range, the stability, the magazine size, the aim assist that you're going to be coming away with, Statistically, the best sniper rifles in the game are still the same ones that they always have been. You've still got Thousand Yard Stare, Steel Piercer. Boy, I can't talk. Longbow Synthesis.
Ahoy, ahoy, ahoy.
Exactly. LDR 5001, still statistically almost exactly where they were. The only sniper rifle that really competes stat-wise that is really worth pursuing and using is probably for me the Defiance of Yasmin. The only place it suffers is reload speed, and otherwise it's essentially in the same place. But all the other sniper rifles are statistically much weaker. Either that, or they're like, say, Glass Promontory or something that can't reliably revive snipe. Or you're getting even into lower damage weapons that can't ever revive snipe. Which is still a mechanic that matters. So, like you guys said, I kind of feel like the problem with those weapons was not that they could super snipe, because, like, I mean, for somebody like me, for the majority of Crucible players, that never happened. The only time that happened is if it happened to us, and honestly, I can't remember the last time somebody sniped me out of my super. It just does not happen that often if you're using it with a modicum of self-awareness. Yeah, for me, like, what would have made sense is, if you look at like magazine sizes, that's an area where I felt like an opportunity was missed to make these weapons more of a choice. You talked about the inventory size, but we've also got excuse me, I'm sorry, sniper rifles. The lowest impact sniper rifles have a magazine size of 5, and every other class, up until you get to the highest, has a magazine size of 4. Why is that? Why are they all the same if they're otherwise so different? Shouldn't the trade-off for those, very high damage numbers be that you can maybe only fit 3 bullets into the gun instead of 4? That was the change I was really expecting to happen here. I expected them all to become like a weaker Black Spindle. I didn't expect them to become a higher damage Defiance of Yasmin.
As we spent a lot of time on snipers, so moving on, the very last thing it says bugs, and as a kind of semblance of the way this patch has gone, the bug fix actually says fixed an issue where the Irene UI stat bar showed an incorrect rate of fire. It actually didn't fix the rate of fire, it fixed the impact stat bar, which was incorrect on that. So just as a way of showing you how this patch has played out, even their bug fix that they said was incorrect. So I went and checked that in game because I was like, did it really have the wrong rate of fire? Was it maybe a very high impact sniper? I was like, fingers crossed, maybe it's like the Black Spindle and I can still super snipe people. Nope, it's not. It always did 417 per headshot. It still does, now it does 388 per headshot, just like all the rest of them. But now the stat bars actually line up with a 1,000 per stare. So congratulations, another useless fix. But onto auto
Auto
rifles.
rifles.
Well, I moved from one useless fix to another. They increased the damage of middle rate of fire auto rifles by 1.5%. That does almost nothing. It pushes out the damage falloff by maybe a meter, if that. It does basically nothing. They did not address the fact that mid rate of fire auto rifles are useless outside of their optimal range, and their optimal range is really, really, really short. The whole reason nobody uses mid impact auto rifles is because Grasp of Malak is better at their optimal range. Grasp of Malak is better at the next range outside of it. All right? And then they're not even the strongest gun inside of their close range where they're supposed to be the strongest gun. And then on top of that, they're so weak as to be useless outside of that. It's just, again, they didn't do anything to make these guns any more appealing and competitive.
Or even honestly, in non-competitive multiplayer, or for that matter, in PvE. I mean, they're mediocre choices in PvE. They have decent magazine sizes, decent damage, but nothing to really recommend them over a scout rifle or an exotic. Or for that matter, honestly, you can put out a heck of a ton of DPS with a high rate of fire, low impact auto rifle. Even with the magazine size being nerfed here as well, the Doctrine, Arminius D, Soulstealer's Claw, and our future Kvostovs all getting slightly smaller magazine sizes as a result here. Not a meaningful drop. So nothing to recommend them in any game mode, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, another thematic change for the sake of making on the list.
They're okay, I guess. So, and now they're still okay.
Shotguns, they basically did the exact same thing. The one thing they did do, which actually was nice, is they reduced the spread angle penalty on shotguns with the full auto perk. So what that basically was is that full auto was a garbage tier perk for good shotguns because it blew the spread of the pellets out so, so far that it basically cut your range more than in half. It was totally useless. So they reduced it down to that. I don't know if it's exactly the same as without full auto, but I think it's very, very close to it. So that was actually a pretty good perk because full auto is no longer an absolute garbage roll on shotguns. They basically gave a Mobius rangefinder as an intrinsic. It got a 0.01 or 0.1 zoom factor increase, and they increased the base stability, which I don't know who cares about stability on shotguns. But so a Mobius basically has like a poor man's rangefinder as its intrinsic, which is nice if anyone uses a Mobius, which I don't know if anyone uses a Mobius. But and then they increase the high rate of fire and middle low rate of fire shotgun damages by 2%. Did not change the pellet damage. It just pushed the damage fall off out by about, I don't know, a foot or less. I have no idea. It doesn't really matter because no one will notice the difference at all.
So for some exact numbers real quick on full auto, you could have a party crasher with 32 range, max range, with full auto. And instead of having the pellet spread of a max range shotgun, it was actually the same pellet spread as a shotgun with 10 range. You lost 22 range. Not your actual range stat, but you have the spread of a shotgun with 22 less range. It hurts. I actually stood right beside somebody in patrol before this patch with max range party crashers. I had rangefinder, he had full auto, and it is incredibly noticeable, or it was about 50 to 60% larger at the same range. So looking at the change they've made, full auto, while still weaker than rangefinder, is at least going to not kill a roll by its very presence. You can have a viable PvP roll with full auto now.
Which is good news.
Yeah, the nice thing about full auto outside the Crucible is that it always actually increased the rate of fire on shotguns, which is something it does not do on other weapons, meaning that you can really pump out a lot of DPS if you want to drop yellow bars, or if you like to get a little bit crazy sometimes, or you maybe drink heavily while you're playing and you like to just go run at bosses full on and dump rounds into them. At least you would.
I thought that's what you were supposed to do.
Yeah, it's a strategy. So it gave you some decent DPS. Now it's going to do that more effectively. You're going to miss less of those pellets. Your shots are going to be more effective at longer ranges. So all around a great change.
Yeah, and we're talking about shotguns, and this is going to do nothing, though, to decrease the prevalence of the high and very high impact, or the very high impact specifically, archetype in PvP. It's not. It's not going to do anything. Because the fact of the matter is, the difference is so drastic between the max range party crasher and a max range stolen will that it's not worth using a stolen will ever, no matter how much faster the rate of fire is. And again, just like with snipers, I thought the way to rectify this was to increase inventory sizes for those low rate of fire shotguns. But really what they're going to need to do is they're going to need to make the differences in range between the very high impact and very low impact much closer together. Like very, very close together. To where the Her Champion still kills from farther away, but it's only barely farther away. And then what's going to happen is people are going to have to decide whether they want that barely longer one-hit kill range or whether they want to be able to shoot their weapon much, much faster than that. That's the only way they're ever going to get people to play with the Stolen Will, the Burden of Proof, the Immobius, the Patch A, any of those shotguns in the Crucible. Because until they do that, distance, long range distance is always going to be key. Killing someone from as far away as you possibly can is always going to be key.
If we're ready to move on to pulse rifles, I'd actually like to take the lead on that one just to read it out.
Yeah, go for it.
All right. So from the patch notes, pulse rifles. With high rate of fire pulse rifles being strong contenders in the Crucible, we put our lens on the mid and low rate of fire models, nudging them slightly forward while maintaining pulses around the three burst kill. Wrong. You do not maintain around the three burst kill. By sticking around that, by that being the philosophy, they are wrong already. But let's go ahead and read what the actual patch was so that I can continue complaining. Increased rate of fire for the Haka pulse rifle, the Admilla D. You know what? Cool. It needed it. Minor increase of 2% to damage for the middle rate of fire family pulse rifles, which is the Nerwin's Mercy family. Again, I look at this and I can't help but think these were changes for the purpose of extending their patch notes. Their philosophy going into this was not the time to kill, it was not the shots to kill. It was, we want this to have three bursts to kill. So we look at the mid and low rate of fire models. They want the low rate of fire to be three burst kills. They're already the slowest time to kill. The only thing that made them worth using was having two burst potentiality. And I can't get over the philosophy for this patch was to maintain three burst kills when a three burst kill for a Grass of Malak or a Hawksaw is exponentially quicker than a three-burst kill for a Lyudmila or for a Nerwin's Mercy. They've tossed those by the wayside when they were once competitive. I can understand the middle rate of fire pulses, because that's just an archetype, I guess, that we could compare to the mid-impact scout rifles being something to learn on. But the high-impact pulse rifles have always been, well, before now, they were for the explicit purpose of if you are good enough to land all six headshots, not miss, not hit a body shot, you'll be rewarded with the quickest time to kill of any pulse rifle. You'll do it in two bursts. That's been gone for a while. It's obviously not coming back. Effectively consigning the high-impact pulse rifles to the same place that, Dreg's Promise. Is that opinions?
Yeah, I used the Lyudmila immediately after this. I went and did the testing. They shaved a frame off of the burst delay, so it does kill a little bit faster. It's not fast enough to be competitive, because the fact of the matter is, I don't just want to say difficult, because I don't think that really sums it up. It's nearly impossible to get the optimal time to kill on a weapon like the Lyudmila. You have to hit 7 critical hits and 1 body shot out of 2 bursts on a gun which has an atrocious recoil pattern, insanely high vertical recoil, a strong leftward pull. I don't know what gods you would have to sell your soul to in order to get those 2 burst kills consistently. It's just not going to happen. So the fact that it has a high, or a fast time to kill, it doesn't matter, because you're never going to hit that time. So thank you for increasing the rate of fire on it, but they should have increased the damage to make it a little bit more forgiving. Not incredibly forgiving, mind you, but even going 6-2 crit to body shot would have probably made it usable. I have one with Headseeker that goes 6-2, and it's usable, but it's just still not competitive. But at least it would have, pushed some people back into it. The minor increase of 2%, it's not going to do anything. It changes it from 29-19 to 30-20 crit and body damage. It just doesn't serve a purpose. Instead of requiring 7 crits to kill, it now requires 6 crits in a body. Fantastic. That still takes a second to fire 7 bullets. 1 full second. And if we're talking about the full 3 burst, I think it goes up to like 1.12 seconds. For the full 3 burst. It's an extra 4 frames, I believe. So even when you're talking about it being like a three burst gun, it being the most forgiving of three burst guns, it's really not. It takes forever to get off those three bursts. You're much better off using a Hawksaw or Grasp of Balance than you are using these guns. They're not more forgiving. They're not helping you in any way. They're still awful. They should have increased the damage enough to where they could kill low armor guardians in two bursts. Because at least then it's like a gamble and you have a reason to try to use it, you know? But again, they didn't do what we thought we were gonna do, and as a consequence, these guns are still totally useless. So, oh well.
Yeah, that really disappoints me. I've always been a big fan of the Ludmilla D, ever since the Taken King dropped. I really loved, working out the math on the damage early on when pulse rifles were so dominant, looking for that key head seeker role that let you kill somebody with just a 4 out of 8 headshots. I don't think obviously it needs to go back to be able to get back to that god role, but even getting to 5 or 6 rounds in two bodies, or just more forgiving than it is. And the other thing too is that was always a god roll. If you had anything other than that, I think you still needed 6 crits even then. So it's just with the rate of fire being so low, if you miss a shot, you can feel your heart beating while you're waiting for that next shot to be ready to fire, and the other person is just pumping rounds into you. So given the rate of fire combined with that recoil, even with a counterbalance hand-laid stock roll, which I have, again, kind of just talking stats, pulse rifles are the primary weapon that I have the most kills with, thanks, thank you, PDX45. It's two extremely unforgiving factors combining to make it not worth your time. It's just the level of skill you would need to be devastating with that weapon. You could have spent the last 2 years of Destiny mastering that, and you would have been doing nothing else. So very
And even if you
disappointing.
mastered it, you're only just as good as a Grasp of Malak. So it's like, why even bother? Grasp of Malak is so much easier, and it's just as rewarding. You know, it's lower risk for the exact same reward. Why would anyone ever use a Ludmilla?
I mean that archetype, like you said before, and I think Cougar, you kind of echoed, there's supposed to be that two burst possibility as a real possibility, not as like, hey, it's a statistical possibility. And my current role on the Ludmilla is a crowd control, counterbalance hand laid stock weapons. So my hope is that I can land a cleanup kill and then follow it up with some slightly more forgiving two burst kills, but it's just in practice, it's still just too hard to actually pull it off.
You should be able to reliably pull off the two burst. It should be something that is not only in theory possible, but is actually practical.
For a high skill player,
It's not.
obviously.
For a high skill player, yes. It shouldn't be practical for somebody who's picking the game up, even for somebody that has spent some time in the Crucible. This should be for someone who has really worked to get to the level where they can do that.
Yeah, I mean, just to say something constructive, like for me, I think the real problem, because the rate of fire, is not going to change. It's where it's intended to be, but the recoil, I think, is the real issue. And just toning that recoil down a little bit to the point where, I mean, right now, counterbalance plus hand-laid stock make that recoil somewhat manageable, but you've still got to deal with, strong recoil and a rate of fire that's very slow. So if you could knock that recoil down without having to get, those two specific perks in order to make it even, something worth considering, then I feel like people might learn it, because you still have the chance. Hey, you miss a shot, you miss half of your rounds, and now it's back to a three burst kill. So landing those consistent two bursts, just based on the rate of fire and the chances of missing a shot in the Crucible. I mean, how often do we all miss shots? Even good players miss shots. You watch a stream or you watch the MLG match tomorrow or today before this podcast becomes available. you're gonna see those people miss a number of shots. Very high skill players. So to where it's at now, you can't miss. You have to have perfect recoil control. It's just too much to ask. But I think that's probably enough said from my point of view on the pulse rifle.
Yep. Well, next up would be sidearms, which is one of the last major changes they did. What they want to do is they want to unify damage for all sidearm types. They did for the first time admit that there are different sidearm families. They admitted that there's low rate of fire and high rate of fire. But going into it, they increased damage for the hockey sidearm family as the low rate of fire class by 3%, and they increased it by 7% for the high rate of fire class. They decreased damage for the non-hitscan sidearms, that would be the Vestian Dynasty and the Queen's Choice, by 5%, which was quite a hit for those sidearms, unfortunately. They extended the damage falloff point for sidearms across the board by 0.5 meter. It is basically unnoticeable. They gave a minor increase of stability for sidearms across the board. That is actually not completely true, and I'll detail that in a second. They added bonus damage in PvE, 20 to 30%, depending on the combatant tier. They are actually dropping the rate of fire bar down, meaning they are no longer 100 rate of fire, but the rate of fire didn't change. They're just adding in new sidearms that actually have an even faster rate of fire. They were very insistent on us knowing that they did not change the rate of fire, it's just the representation has changed. So going and taking a look at those stats for the sidearms right now, basically the Havoc Pigeon Crow's Eye, there's a little low rate of fire class. They now do 61 crit damage, 49 body damage. That makes Crow's Eye very, very strong. If you can get an accurized, linear, or field choke roll on it, it will actually kill in 4 body shots in 0.7 seconds, which is very, very nice. If you have a Crow's Eye with that roll, it is fantastic. Havoc Pigeon, unfortunately, has no way to boost its impact, so it's not going to be able to do that. The Queen's Choice and the Vestian Dynasty just got pooped on those, sadly. Basically, the only way you can go back to their 0.6 second body shot time to kill is by rolling one with aggressive ballistics, and then whoop-de-doo, you now have total shit range, awful stability, and awful aim assist. So, you know, if you've got one with aggressive ballistics and you want to try it, it does have a faster rate of fire. The body shot time to kill is 0.6 seconds, which is as fast as you're ever going to get it, but the stats now suck. So, that was quite a nerf to Queen's Choice and to Vestian Dynasty.
I'm happy about the rest of it, but I just... Unfortunately, I dismantled all of my sidearms that weren't Queen's Choice because Queen's Choice was just, you know, friggin' awesome. And now I have two fantastic Queen's Choice rolls that I'm probably going to end up turning into mercs next week.
I am very, very glad that I've held on to, like, 5 Crow's Eyes.
Oh, I hate
They're
you.
They're probably the best right now. If you don't have a Crow's Eye with an impact-increasing perk, which you should because they roll pretty... You know, impact increasing perks are pretty common on those. Then the Conviction, Jabberhockey, Iron Wreath, those are all passable in the high rate of fire non-hitscan class. But at this point in time, there's not really a reason to, or the high rate of fire hitscan class, but at this point in time, there's not really a reason to use the non-hitscan guns. The Vestian Dynasty got another nerf, which I don't even know if they talked about. I didn't see it in the patch notes, but they actually changed the recoil pattern of the Vestian Dynasty to match the Queen's Choice, which up until this point, it had had its own separate recoil pattern. And by that, I mean it basically didn't have recoil. The Vestian Dynasty, you could go and shoot it as fast as you wanted, and it actually wouldn't go up in terms of, like, jumping the bullets. It would reset itself in between shots perfectly every single time with no assistance from your thumb, which is really, really nice to use. Or very little assistance, but now it has the exact same recoil pattern. So the Vestian Dynasty is quite awful now, unfortunately. So that's the sidearm changes. I will say that I'm glad they're trying to make sidearms more useful. I like the changes they did to the hitscan sidearms. I like the changes for PvE. I like the increased stability and the extension of damage falls. I think they did good things with sidearms. Sidearms are definitely more useful now. And basically what's going to happen is people who are already using sidearms are going to be happy. And maybe a few more people might give them a tryout, but I still don't think they're going to be supremely competitive just because that damage falloff is really, really aggressive.
The one question I have is how are we supposed to pull the trigger fast enough to fire a faster firing sidearm? Are they going to be full auto? I hope so.
That would be interesting to see full auto sidearm.
It'd be like The Last Word.
I would buy that gun.
Hopefully they have the same range as
us. Don't give them any ideas, Kutch. They're going to sell it at Eververse now for 600 silver.
Oh, dang it.
All right, let's just ignore microtransactions for competitive advantages. Let's just not talk about them.
And then up next would be rocket launchers, which is something Cougar is not very happy about. But they basically wanted to make cluster bombs more powerful and grenades and horseshoes less powerful. So grenades and horseshoes has decreased from 1.3-meter activation radius to a 1-meter activation radius on legendary rocket launchers, basically on all rocket launchers that aren't Truth. Because of the fact that Truth is still as powerful as it always is going to be, I don't think, and I don't think they should have nerfed this at all. I don't think they should have changed it. But because they didn't change Truth, everyone's still just going to use Truth is the way it's going to work. No one's going to use Cluster Bomb because unless Cluster Bomb can blow someone out of the air, it completely misses the point of what's good about grenades and horseshoes. It's about the fact that this game has tons of verticality and you can't reliably hit the ground or the wall next to someone because they're floating up in the sky. That's why grenades and horseshoes is great. Cluster Bomb isn't going to help for shit in that. Unless, I don't know. I honestly don't know. I don't know how they expect it to help, really.
It's not. And to jump in where I'm not happy with these changes, I like that they're trying to make Cluster Bomb relevant. I don't think it worked, but I like that they tried to make that perk relevant with a buff. What I don't like is that, first off, they nerfed grenades and horseshoes to 1 meter. 1 meter in the game is probably about the size of the actual last word gun. It's terribly small. And at this point, if I have a legendary rocket launcher, which I do, I have a JLB-47 with a perfect roll with grenades and horseshoes. At this point, I'm better off just going for a direct impact. I mean, there's the 1 meter. Leaves me no room for error. I understand that I should be aiming for body shot or direct impacts anyway, but the fact of the matter is that even going from 1.3 to 1 is a horrific decrease in effectiveness of the perk. What really got to me about this is that Truth was unaffected. Truth is an exotic. They want exotics to feel exotic. They are supposed to be powerful. They are supposed to be good. I get that. Truth has tracking, the best tracking in the game, and it has grenades and horseshoes.
The best grenades and horseshoes.
It has the best grenades and horseshoes in the game. So please, I would like to know why they just removed the ability for legendary rocket launchers to compete with Truth. Not for them to out and out beat the Truth, but to even compete with it. There is no competition for the Truth now. The grenades and horseshoes was nerfed. Legendary rocket launchers have been effectively neutered by that nerf, especially with Truth being unaffected, having the best tracking, the best grenades and horseshoes. I don't like this. If anything, Truth should have had the reduction in grenades and horseshoes. Legendaries should have remained the exact same, and they should have buffed Cluster Bomb. I don't agree with these. I don't think they're any good. I don't think they help. I think this patch, all in all, has been two steps back from them trying to bring the spotlight to PvP. I am losing my enthusiasm for talking about this. This really is very disappointing.
All right, well, that being said, let's burn through these last couple things that don't really matter. Machine guns, they increase the damage on the highest rate of machine guns 4%, goes from 25-20 to 26-21, has no effect on PvP whatsoever, including with barrel perks. Doesn't change anything, ignore that. Hand cannons, they completely ignored the accuracy issue and the forcing of everyone to basically get range perks on their hand cannons, and instead fixed an issue where Zoe's Bane rate of fire would display incorrectly, and the Taken King Vanguard and Arms Day hand cannon stats would display incorrectly. No one cares about that. Fusion rifles, only small bug fixes. They did fix accelerated coils to where it correctly reflects the damage reduction now on the UI stat bars. That's very nice. Doesn't do much for us. They fixed an issue where the Teku and Rage stats were displayed incorrectly. Also nice. Doesn't do very much. On to perks now. Take a Knee does not activate instantly when you slide, so you can no longer slide and take a knee. It takes a half second of crouching. They added flinch reduction of 25% and increased aim down sights by 25%. So take a knee might be a little bit better, but you will no longer be able to slide and shoot with take a knee. Exhumed now adds plus 5 seconds for 15 seconds of total time. Cascade is a functional change. Melee kills automatically reload a portion of the magazine. I still doubt anyone is ever going to touch Cascade. Surplus now actually increases your inventory size as well. It increases your carried ammo capacity, which is pretty nice. That's pretty nice change. Yeah. Grave Robber. Yeah, we'll go back and talk about these. I'm just trying to burn through all the unimportant ones right now, and we'll discuss a few of them in a second. Grave Robber, increase activation chance to 25% from 20%. No one cares. Guerrilla Fighter, increase stability and range bonuses by 200%. They say to think of it as a bonus Hammer Forge and perfect balance when the perk activates, but nobody sits behind cover in this game and doesn't move. So who cares? Magazine perks, thankfully, they finally removed the incorrect impact stat bonuses that were not there for armor-piercing rounds, high-caliber rounds, and skip rounds, and they now add range instead. Armor-piercing adds 4, high-caliber adds 3, skip rounds adds 5, and it also adds 5 to your inventory. Very nice. Unflinching, for some reason, even though they just increased the amount of flinch, they have decreased the efficiency of the unflinching perk from 25% to 15%, and finally, they said they fixed the Firefly crash effect. But apparently, it is still causing crashes, so don't trust them on that. All right, are there any of those perks, any of those at all, that we feel like are worth talking about?
I'll just say one thing about Take a Knee. And, you know, we're getting a lot of new weapons in Rise of Iron. I'm really, really, really hoping that Take a Knee, and you all know this as a sniper rifle perk, as well as a primary weapon perk. On primary weapons, I don't think really matters at all, even... Before, it was okay, but now it matters almost not at all. Sniper rifles, I guess it's now the camper's favorite perk for the more aggressive snipers. It has just gone from okay to completely irrelevant. But one thing, little known, it does appear on some fusion rifles, not legendaries. I think I've seen it on commons, maybe rares. Very much hoping that it's going to show up on legendary fusion rifles in Rise of Iron, because it is now a fantastic anticipatory fusion rifle perk if it makes it onto those guns. That's the only thing I've got out of that that really, also I think Surplus now just became even better. I'm super happy about that.
Yeah, for PvE, Surplus is probably pretty good. Cougar, you got anything to add to those?
The only thing that really caught my interest is Exhumed getting a little extra time. I know it is also a range boost to your guns. It does roll on shotguns, so you now have 15 seconds of boosted range on any revive capable mode. I'm not sure if this takes effect on respawn, I don't think it does, but if you get revived in a 3-on-3 mode, your shotgun now has effectively a lot more range. Anything else does. So you can one-hit kill with Exhumed from outside of your opponent's one-hit kill range. And it's possible now with 15 seconds of time. That's enough time to get to somebody.
Yep. That's longer than some people even go through entire lives in the Crucible. So, all right. For the rest of the update, we are running very, very long on this podcast. So we're just going to burn through the rest of the Crucible specific stuff. We will talk about the other activities more in next week's podcast. But Crucible, legendary engrams have been removed from the post-game rewards, so they say legendary weapons will drop significantly more often. I can confirm that is the case. I'm getting so many legendary weapons and so many marks. It is very, very nice. Beowulf, Cicero, and Gilgamesh shaders can once again be acquired by completing Crucible missions. I'm so happy that we get to see those shaders again.
Yeah.
I think the Crucible ships that were very rare are now dropping more often. Let's see. They're not doing Sterling Treasures from the Weekly Crucible and Postmaster anymore. Game types. 3v3 game types give slightly less heavy ammo per brick. I'm sure Sweaty Kids will be excited so that they can ignore those slightly smaller heavy bricks. Trials of Osiris has ended. It will resume on September 30th, but heavy ammo will now appear at only one central location. There will not be two heavy ammos anymore. There will only be one. Yep, they fixed the salvage scoring so that, let's see, it says reduced initial relic capture spawn delay from 15 to 10 seconds, reduced time between relic spawns from 25 to 15, reduced countdown time on the enemy probe from 45 to 30, increased interaction radius on enemy probe from 3 to 5 meters, increased successful sabotage score from 150 to 200 points, and change scoring so that now the only the interacting player gets points for a successful sabotage instead of the entire team.
From playing Salvage, Salvage has gone from a game mode that I could favorably compare to poker, with you've got to make bets, you've got to figure out if you want to take this relic or if you want to try to take it from the other team, to we cap the relic, if we kill these guys one time, they won't have enough time to cross the map to defuse it anyway. So you cap the relic, kill the other team once, you're good. I hate it. I despise changes. It's not fun anymore. Don't have to think.
On the flip side, though, the entire community seemed to hate Salvage the way it was before because That's they didn't true. Like the fact that you basically weren't rewarded for capturing the relic. Now it seems like, having played a few games of it, because I hate Salvage in general, but I hate 3v3 game types, but having played Salvage a couple of games today to finish off one of the Shaxx bounties, it seemed like you were more rewarded for actually capturing the relic. And it was like, I always thought that was the whole point of Salvage, was to capture the relic. And now you're rewarded for capturing the relic. Whereas before, it felt like a punishment for capturing the relic. You were better off just stopping the other team from doing it, or just going Team Slayer the entire time. So, you know, the changes to Salvage, we'll give it some more time, see if they work out. I'm sure the community is probably finding a way to rage about it as we're talking. But on to Rift, and they added an overshield on player spawn to cut down on spawn camping. It actually does work. I was trying to spawn camp today, and it's really, really funny how effective the overshield is.
Can you snipe through it?
No. No. Your sniper does like 15 damage or something absurd. I kid you not.
That's incredible.
Like, I was shooting them with a scout rifle that does 73 damage for headshots, and it was doing 8 damage. 8. When I was hitting them. And then I was trying to snipe a guy when he spawned, and I don't know if it was 15, it might have been like upwards of that somewhere, but it was not even like a noticeable dent in the shield. It's very quick though, so it doesn't last for like multiple seconds. You can't run all the way out of spawn. It's literally just the first 1 or 2 or 3 seconds that you're up, you've got an overshield. So yeah, it actually did have an effect, because it was on Bannerfall, and I was looking through the hallway into one of their spawns, and I was able to see them. So it actually does have an effect, which is really, really nice. Extended runner damage resistance when picking up the spark by a few seconds, that's actually a huge change, and quick runners can get freaking almost halfway to the thing while they're basically invincible. I sniped a spark runner in the head today and only did 177 damage for a headshot, and it was a full 3 seconds after he picked the spark up and was running. So I'm not really a huge fan of that, but I don't think it's like a game-breaking thing. And then for some maps, they added invisible physics every place they could find to stop people from getting into places that they're not supposed to be. But I actually found a very nice place on Vertigo that I'm going to be using, and then I'm not going to tell anyone where it is.
PM me later.
But it's pretty funny, though. I actually found it because some kid was sitting up there with heavy ammo, and he killed me multiple times. And I was like, oh, I see. I see where that is. So I might be trying it for myself later. But I think that's it. I think that is it for the 2.4 update, besides the one major thing that was not listed. The Titans received a nerf, both to shoulder charge and to, I believe, increase control. No longer pushes you as far horizontally. It now pushes you more vertically, which makes it more difficult to Titan skate as fast as you possibly can. So I'm sure that's unpopular with a lot of people, but in my opinion, it was a good change. Titan skating was something that needed to be addressed. It was not supposed to be in the game. It has allowed a class that has the most armor to also be the most mobile. And hate me if you will, but I think it is about damn time that Titans got a tiny little tweak to that ability of theirs.
Yeah, as a Hunter Warlock primary, I'm not. I know people who are sad to see it go, people who might be listening to this podcast in a day or two and say, Kit, you're a dick. Not the first time I've heard that, won't be the last. And I'm not too sad to see it weakened. I don't think it's gone. Titans can still skate, they just won't be quite so fast.
Yeah, skating is still viable. You do move very quickly. To reach previous speeds, you do need a Twilight Garrison. Can still effectively skate, though. It's not gone. A little bit weaker.
All right. Well, I believe that is basically it for this podcast. This is probably going to be our longest podcast since the very first episode, closing on 1 hour and 20 minutes now. But appreciate you guys stopping in for our discussion, the 2.4.0 patch. I do feel the need to say that although this has been a salt-laden discussion, I am not incredibly, incredibly unhappy with the way things are going in PvP right now. I just felt like this patch was pushed out just to say they made a patch. You know, I don't feel like they actually took the time and effort and truly wanted to make changes in the Crucible. I felt like it was reactionary because they felt like they needed to put something out there, but it didn't really do very much. The two things people were complaining about, Universal Remote and High Impact Snipers, got nerfed, and basically nothing else has really changed. So it's not that I hate Destiny. I don't hate the developers. I don't think they're less of people by much than I did before. But I just feel like this patch wasn't even worthy of being its own thing. They could have done a lot more. They could have changed a lot more things. They could have really, really put some work into the Crucible and prepped it for Rise of Iron. And instead, it's kind of like, hey, we did something, guys. Look at us. We put something out there. It's like, well, you did, but nothing has really changed. You know?
I agree with Mercules on that. And this definitely wasn't our most upbeat episode. However, we feel that it would have been inappropriate to not call out what was done in the patch note. We can't pretend everything is sunshine and rainbows. You got to call out mistakes when you see.
Yeah, I think the thing to remember too, you know, kind of coming out of this, there's unfortunately a lot of changes that we feel kind of missed the mark this time around. That said, I'm pretty sure we're all going to go play Destiny after we finish recording. We're all going to go play Destiny tomorrow, and we're sure as heck all going to see you out there on the 20th. So not nearly enough to turn us off from, you know, or start us down a real salt train. You know, just not what we thought was going to be best for the game. But hey.
Their dubs were not.
That's how it goes.
Yep, they don't ask us. It's like they didn't just... They didn't destroy the game, but they had an opportunity to improve it, and I don't think they really took it, is I guess what I'm upset about. I'm upset because I love this game, and I want to see it be the best it can be, and I don't think this opportunity was seized.
Agreed.
Yeah, I mean, it could have been a lot worse. It could have been a lot better, and what else can you say? So, but the only other thing...
Follow me on Twitch.
Check out Cougar on Twitch. If you want to give me a preemptive follow, you can look forward to some PvE streams, some weapon discussion streams coming up in the near future from me. We're all on Twitter. Mercules is on Twitter and YouTube. He's posted up some excellent videos on YouTube recently. Make sure you check those out.
Yep, and let's not sell yourself short. You are going for a world first for the raid, Kutch, and Cougar is on a mission to become top 100 in trials and to stay there. So the upcoming year 3 will be very exciting for all of us.
Yeah,
yeah,
I'll definitely be there first thing Friday, September 23rd. I've got my crew set. We've got some subs in place for people with kids as time goes on. So I just need to get my IV, and I'll be hooked up.
I've actually, I have set up with somebody to be my partner for trials runs. We're going to be doing trials runs all day, every day, starting 9:30. So feel free. That my Twitch is NKCougar94. You can enter the raffle from there, or you can enter it on my partner's Twitch. I'm not going to be listing that in our podcast. That's appropriate. That's all I have.
And like I said, I've got a YouTube channel up now. I've been posting quite a few videos. Some of them even made it onto Planet Destiny. So if you guys want to follow, just look for Destiny Massive Breakdowns on YouTube, and I'll be posting a more in-depth video of my sniper rifle findings probably tomorrow. So look for that. Awesome. And I think that's all we have for this week, right?
That's all we got. Thanks, guys.
All right. See y'all next week.
See everybody on Wednesday. Appreciate you listening.